Good evening, Ohio, and welcome to Youth Beat here on Columbus Community Radio. I'm Lindsay Hirsch, your host for the evening, enjoying the warm snap we've been experiencing recently. In fact, I'm out on the front lawn, sitting in my shorts and tank top in an inflatable pool. Okay, no, I'm not. But a girl can dream, can't she? Anywho, I'm glad you've joined me in this early blush of spring, where the world is slowly drip-drying from a sudden and bitter winter. Tonight, we'll take you on an adventure in money management as we learn how students in Ohio are being given the unique chance to gain real-life experience on how to save, manage, and handle their money. As usual, we'll also brighten up your night with a positively charged, introduce you to a new and amazing creature, quote it up, and play some great music. To start us off right, this is Hans Zimmer's much-loved and high-spirited piece, He's a Pirate, featured in Disney's Pirates of the Caribbean. Let's set sail. While we're already on a ship, let's take a small trip. Hey, I rhymed! We'll head over to Sedan to learn how the students of Upper Arlington are making a difference thousands of miles away. Michael Roberts and Maya Noreal have more with this week's Positively Charged.
No, I'm positive.
Strides for South Sudan is an active organization and has been for the past 5 years at Upper Arlington High School. The club holds annual fundraisers to help raise money for the Lost Boys of Sudan, which is a group of over 20,000 boys of the Nuer and Dinka ethnic groups who were displaced during the Second Sudanese Civil War, and also help with their maternity clinic in Peel, Sudan. The Nuer and Dinka are two conflicting tribes of people that inhabit South Sudan. Gracie Bergdahl, president of the Strides for South Sudan Club, has been involved with the organization for 4 years. Upper Arlington High School teachers Mark Besh and Carolyn Angelos brought it to the students' attention. Youth Beat reporter Maya Noreal talks to Gracie Bergdahl about the club.
Just really was intrigued by it because it was something I never heard of. I didn't even know that there was a country called South Sudan. And so I was really excited to learn something new and be able to help other people. And I think the part where we were actually working with real Lost Boys, I think that was what really interest me, because it was something like tangible and you could talk to them and see what they were like.
Strides for South Sudan has raised over $55,000 to help with the maternity clinic and to feed those in need.
What have you done to raise money for the Lost Boys?
Every year we have a chili cook-off. I won last year, so I'm hoping to get that again. We do a annual walk-a-thon, which is in the spring, and for the last 2 years, we've done a tea bread sale, which has actually brought in a ton of revenue and money for the club, so that's been really helpful.
What do you hope to do with the club this year?
I hope to raise the most money that we've ever had in the program because they actually really, really need it now. They're on the brink of another civil war, which is awful, but they need all the supplies they can get, and we need more humanitarian relief in the country because the people are fleeing where they're living, and there's no food, no resources to get what they need. So they're really in need of it.
Mark Besh is excited about the progress being made with Strides for South Sudan. Youth Beat reporter Maya Noreal talks to Mark Besh on how he feels the students have made an impact.
Do you feel the students have made an impact?
Heck yeah, the students have made an impact. Raised over $55,000, have helped fund a health clinic in a village that never had electricity, let alone a health clinic. So yes, they've impacted.
Mark Besh explains how to prevent a similar situation from happening again in South Sudan and how everyone can help by raising awareness.
Are there any ways that we can help prevent the same situation from happening again?
I just think by students being aware that these types of issues are happening in Africa, we look at the Ebola crisis that's taking place, I think the way to make sure these issues don't happen is being aware in the United States and knowing that we are a wealthy country and we do have to help those that are less fortunate, and Africa is certainly one of those continents that needs our help.
If you want to learn more about Strides for South Sudan or the Lost Boys, feel free to email Mark Besh at mboesch@uaschools.org or visit columbusworldaffairs.com/stridesforsouthsudan. That is mboesch@uaschools.org or visit columbusworldaffairs.com/stridesforsouthsudan. This has been Michael Roberts and Maya Noriel for Youth Beat Radio.
Once more, that was Michael Roberts and Maya Noriel, Upper Arlington High School. I'm Lindsay Hirsch, and this is Youth Beat here on Columbus Community Radio. Tonight, our feature story is with Sue Hogan, who is a former member and current employee of the Ohio 4-H Club. Aside from teaching students about animal care and farming, 4-H also provides opportunities for students to learn about more commonplace skills, such as money management and savings. Programs such as Real Money, Real World allow students to understand just how hard earning money can be and just how expensive independent living is. Reporter Nishant Makija has more.
I'm here with Sue Hogan, the 4-H educator for Franklin County. Welcome, Sue. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me here, Nishant. It's great to be here.
Yeah. Sue, so let's get right into it. I wanted to ask you, can you tell us about the program Real Money, Real World that is offered by Franklin County Extension? What is the goal of the program? What ages does the program try to, you know, bring in? And what ages is the program developed for?
Okay, Real Money, Real World was actually developed at the state level by Ohio State University Extension personnel, and it is in almost all of the 88 counties in Ohio. It's an individual choice for the county extension office to choose whether they will have the program or not. And it actually is probably ideal for grades 7 to 12 and even college students, simply because any younger the math would be a little difficult for them.
Okay, and to date, how many students have been involved with the program in Franklin County and statewide?
I don't have those numbers in front of me, but I can say in Franklin County, in the 2 years I've been here, we serve about 2,000 youth a year.
Okay, and how does the program work, and what does it do for students, and what do students do as well?
What happens is a teacher within our county or any of the counties that offer it in Ohio would contact the 4-H personnel or sometimes the family and consumer science personnel, depending as who is offering it in the area office, and then we would go ahead and set up the program. And what happens is there are four 45-minute lessons, and the teachers are required to teach those lessons, and then it culminates in a simulation. And the simulation, the students throughout the program will take out their taxes and all those sorts of things that you do in real life, and they also are given a salary, an occupation, a number of children, and then that determines how much money they have. And so on the final day, in this, when the simulation happens, they go around and spend the money that they have based on what their salary and all their deductions have led them to.
So let me make sure I understand. This is a program that you've started that is done after school when the students can come, and you've hired teachers from across Central Ohio to do this?
No. Again, this program was developed at the state level, so I did not develop it. And what happens is it's a free program for teachers here in Franklin County. And teachers, generally, it's offered during the school day. So we would do it as well for after-school programs, but we would need probably at least 50 kids, grades 7 to 12, to participate, to make it work well.
So this is a separate class the students take within their school, or it's integrated into the curriculum in these teachers' classes?
Okay. In 2012, Ohio mandated that there should be financial literacy education in Ohio. And that so the first group of students who went through that just graduated. And it can be through social studies. It could be through a consumer science teacher. Sometimes the math teachers offer it. So different folks in the schools will offer to provide the program.
Okay, great. And how, I mean, you said, you mentioned that the State House created it. What was, how did it get started by the State House in 2012?
I am not sure what led them to that, but I'll backtrack. What happens is that students are learning things like algebra and things that aren't real world. And so, as you saw, particularly with some of our housing crisis and all those things that happened in the past and our bad economy, it was felt that students really need to be taught how to live in the and manage their finances in the real world. So that's partly, in my opinion, what led to the Senate bill. But and then as a response, our program, which actually had started before that, was, as I recall, was a good tie-in with that curriculum.
Okay. Well, it seems like it's exciting for a lot of students in particular, because a lot of students can then understand how to spend money to buy a house or to, you know, bank, or, you know, different situations where it's finances are needed. And I think that that's going to help a lot of people. What is the main reason that they felt, was this not being taught in the schools properly, that they felt like they needed more additional programs like this?
Well, sometimes in the what was traditionally called home ec, they would still have some financial programs, but really schools had gotten quite away from it, and so that's what just the need for it was brought back to the forefront. And in our program, we survey youth before and after, and great impacts are made after through the study. Great impacts in knowledge, attitudes, and all kind of things. As a matter of fact, when I do the program, there are typically a couple things that students always say. A, they're going to thank their parents afterwards. Mm-hmm. B, they didn't realize things cost so much money. And C, they're going to wait to have children because they didn't realize how much children cost.
Great. And so I guess my other question for you, Sue, is in what ways can the Real Money, Real World program be helpful to you thinking about, you know, education, careers, and other life choices?
Well, in the program, the students have the, it depends on what the teacher wants to do. We offer a list of professions and the current salaries for those professions or as current as can be possible. The program goes through updates every now and then. And so sometimes the teachers allow the youth to have a profession that matches their own, or they're given an assigned profession. And I think that's very eye-opening for them. Sometimes youth may realize that the profession they've chosen will not really support what they have in mind for their future. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes what youth will say, well, you know, I think I'll get some college or some sort of additional education, technical, professional school, that sort of thing. So it is really eye-opening for them.
And in what other ways would you suggest that youth learn about money and finances? Other than, you know, the program that you're offering, how else should they be able to learn more about this?
Well, I'm hoping that with our program and what the lessons that are taught, it will help them develop a desire to look at some other options, like maybe jumping into seeing what kind of careers are out there, what kind of college programs are out there, or scholarships, or all different kind of things that maybe they might not have thought of, or just even exploring some of those. There's a book which I'm losing the name of right now, but it kind of gives you an outlook for jobs and what they might look like in the future and what might be the jobs to go into. So I think just, you know, our program might be just that jumping off point to learn more about other things out there. And there are other programs out there. We're not the only ones who do financial literacy. So certainly people could look into those other programs, although I think ours is amazing and we get a lot of really good feedback. We also have quite a few bankers that will assist with the program. So they have a lot of buy-in as well.
Okay. What are the plans to offer the program to schools in Franklin County that have not been involved so far? For example, I know that Upper Arlington and Dublin schools, they have home ec programs there specifically. But is there any plan to maybe introduce this to suburban schools?
We've actually been in quite a few of the schools, including Upper Arlington. But what I do is I send out a mass mailing to principals, superintendents, those sorts of folks, and advertise it. It's really open to anyone who can meet, you know, the guidelines that we have. So I'm very willing to work with everyone. Actually, we have been in quite a few schools in Franklin County.
Great. Well, Sue, it looks like an exciting program, and I'm very excited to see where it goes. And thank you so much for talking with YouthBeat Radio today. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much. Good to talk with you.
Again, that was reporter Nishant Makija interviewing Sue Hogan about Real Money, Real World. We'll take a small break now and let you listen to some music. Ladies and gents, Changes from David Bowie.
And my time was running wild in the dead-end streets. And every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me. But I've never caught a glimpse of how the others must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't wanna be a richer man.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
It's gonna have to be a different man. Sides, but never leave the stream of warm permanent sand. So the days float through my eyes, but still the days seem the same. And these children that you spit on as they try to change their worlds are immune to your consultations. They're quite aware of what they're going through.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Don't tell them to blow up on out of it.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Where the shame you've left is up to her next event.
Time may change me, but you can't twist time.
Strange fascination.
We'll We'll shift into our creature feature now. And for those of you who were listening several weeks ago, this creature has a tie-in to one of our old creature features. This week's featured creature is the fire-bellied snake. Those of you who tuned in several weeks ago already know how this remarkable reptile received its fame. Their natural immunity to the highly toxic poison dart frog, which makes up most of their diet. But there's more to this adapted creature than the strong stomach. In fact, the stomach may have nothing to do with it. Scientists believe that the snake's saliva is what contains the neutralizer. They receive their colorful name from the bright orange markings that reach out from their underbelly. All right, folks, we have time for just one more song here on Youth Beat. This is Rustin Roots, Send Me On My Way.
Sharp my hand, only say, only tell you to run.
Oh boy, oh boy,
the moment to see, moment to young. Well, pick me up with golden hand, only say, only tell you to run.
Oh boy, oh boy,
the moment to see, moment to young. Well, I would like to hold my little hand. How we will run, how we will cry. I would like to hold my little hand. How we will run, how we will cry.
And we can transfer neatly into a quote from there. This week's quote comes from Rachel Carson. The more clearly we can focus our attention on the wonders and realities of the universe about us, the less taste we shall have for destruction. That's all we've got time for tonight on Youth Beat Radio. I'm Lindsay Hirsch, wishing you a good week. We'll see you next Monday. The views reflected in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of WCRS Columbus Community Radio or any of Youth Beat's sponsors.
Youth Beat Radio is funded by the School of Environment and Natural Resources at Ohio State University, the Ohio State University, and the Ohio State University Extension's Outreach Program, as well as the Puffin Foundation West and private sponsors. Check us out on the web at youthbeat.osu.edu or follow us on our Twitter page or our Facebook page.